Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
We set to go?
Yeah.
Go.
Everything's rolling?
Yes. Rolling.
Everything's peachy?
Peachy keen.
Everything's hunky-dory?
We've got 100% on hunky, 92% on dory.
Dory.
Can you see this look through the Skype?
I can.
Yes.
All right, ready?
I'm excited that in a matter of moments, you'll be driving northward towards me. Come to my home.
Shut up. Shut up. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. It is a lovely day in Manassas, Virginia, and a lovely day in Fort Myers, Florida, as we like to call it down here in South Florida, getaway day, as I'm going to be making my way back to scenic, beautiful Northern Virginia in just a matter of a few minutes. Looking forward to that.
Hey, Mike O'Mara.
Really excited. What?
Are you excited?
Yeah.
About the departure?
Oh, I couldn't be more happy.
Coming home.
A lot of times when I sit down and you're doing the show via Skype, I try to gauge your mood, and I just couldn't put my finger on it today.
I'm sure. I was pretty subtle today, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Really, really super subtle.
So hard
super
to read.
Duper, duper subtle. Hey, guess what, though?
What?
It's time to open up the mailbag.
Do it!
Just be doing that on every Thursday.
Yeah, man. Letters and whatnot.
Man.
Letters and whatnot.
And they say sunshine brings joy.
There's no place like home.
On the road again.
I'm leaving the sunshine.
I know.
Let's put it sunny here.
All right, anyway, here we go. Birthday greetings today.
Yes.
A guy from Baltimore who calls himself Obi. Like Obi-Wan?
Yeah,
just
yeah,
Ob.
Yeah.
Ob or is Obi. It Obi?
It's Obi.
As in G-Y-N.
You know, at Buffalo, was it Buffalo Wild Wings where you can play poker against people?
Yes.
We were playing poker the other day against this guy, and his name was Opie.
Yeah.
And I immediately, based on the radio feud, hate the guy.
Right? Sure,
so,
sure.
I'm looking at the Opie thing, and Opie is one of these guys that steps away from his little console controller.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to wait 15, 20 seconds every time Opie was you know, taking a pee or doing whatever he did.
Right.
And I just wanted to say, F you.
That's hey, when you were looking at him on the big screen in Buffalo Wild Wings, were you able to tell if this guy Opie pretended that he wasn't 50 like the other Opie did?
Oh, that was a great feud, wasn't it?
It was. They were such great points. And you know his partner, Anthony? Handsome.
Yes, Anthony Cumia.
Oh, yeah, very handsome.
Yeah.
Yes, good to mention their names on our show to get started.
You know I'm
firmly both feet in the dark side when I start talking about them. Anyway, a guy from Baltimore who calls himself Obi says he turned 50 on January 5th. He's been through a lot of bad times.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Mike. I changed my mind on the wording.
He's been through a lot of bad times recently, and he says this show got him through it. He says the Stoli also helped. Ah, Stolzhenitsyn.
Ah, this is not the vodka. This is not the vodka you're looking for.
And speaking of Stoli, a little greeting going out to Timmy Obibene, the Nigerian nightmare.
Yeah.
Hey,
nice.
I got a Christmas card from him this year.
So did I.
And it, he's
Mr. Mr. Timmy, one of the original vodka drinkers.
Right.
One of the originals.
Yeah.
That was back when he didn't have the dreadlocks, when he was sporting the flat top.
That's what Timmy would say, Mike, we want to go to Lucky Bar. You're going to like this. It's all very comfortable.
Do you like my hair? It looks like Kid and Play.
You would enjoy it. Good.
Fun time. Our next one, this past Saturday, Dale Roberts of Mobile, Alabama, had a birthday.
Uh-huh.
Well, happy birthday, Dale.
He and his wife, Heather, laugh at us all day in the car together, and they're addicted to the show. So for Dale Roberts, Mobile, Alabama, I say happy birthday to you. No no birthday age given here.
No,
happy birthday, Dale. Give my best to your good woman, Heather.
Settle down, Oscar, comes our next one. Settle down, Oscar. This Brian Williams is from Moline, Illinois.
Oh, Jesus. You know, if he settled down anymore, he'd flatline. He didn't even undo
Brian
a coat
Williams
button today.
From Moline, Illinois, but plans to visit Oakton Wine Shop when he visits D.C. this spring. Brian believes, however, that his party days are over. He turned 43 on Tuesday. No.
He's just beginning.
We won't allow it.
You have a good 9 years left. I'm here to tell you that.
Anyway. Maybe more.
Well, maybe a good 8 years and a year that sort of dwindles.
Thank you very much, Rob. Yesterday was...
Settle down, Oscar.
Sorry. Different right. Brian Williams.
Smucker, got to be great jam. Yesterday was Nola Weaver's birthday.
Oh, I know her. Yeah.
She and college friend Liz Galelli, oh, that's my trainer's sister, I believe, reconnected after 7 years with the help of this stupid podcast. Amen, brother.
No,
when they started talking again, it was about this show. Isn't that cool?
Brought them together. Cool.
N-O-L-A, Nola.
Like
Nola. Tomorrow, Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
Good day to be traveling.
You don't
tomorrow,
believe
Friday
nonsense.
The 13th. Mm-hmm. What?
You don't believe that nonsense.
Well, you're energized today, aren't you?
Don't drive under a ladder, Mike.
It's his third day of Wait Not.
Don't hit a black cat.
Tomorrow, Friday the 13th, is Jeff Kasa, spelled with two A's, K-A-A-S-A's 35th birthday. Uh-huh. He's been a fan for nearly 20 years.
Wow. That's a
thank you.
Some of these fans.
Sometimes the energy manifests itself in the wrong places, but only sometimes.
I think it's all my fault. Happy 30th birthday Saturday to William Dean. William Dean loves
Dean.
William Dean loves his Road Trip 2011 DVD. He and his wife listened together in the car as well. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. Like
very nice. A lot of people do.
But
that.
Don't listen and to the DVD in the car.
And our final birthday.
He holds in his hand.
If I could reach through right now. Also Saturday, Bill Mazeyes running a marathon with his daughter in Charleston, South Carolina.
Ooh, beautiful.
They need Rob to drive Charlie to the store to pick up some Gatorade for the run.
Charlie?
Yeah, Rob.
Are you ready to go?
Rob, we got to run out because we have to get some Gatorade for the run.
All right, Charlie, we'll be right back.
There they go.
Do you like my LTD, Charlie?
That's very good. We give and give and give, don't we, on
we
this
do.
Show?
We do. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
We truly do. And now that's it. That's our official birthday list for
Yay.
Thursday. This is the 12th of January, 2012. And without further ado, S&D, start the show, Slim.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
And now for our lesson. Remember, this is bread.
Bread.
And this is wine to drink.
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 Good. Good.
We are friends, you and I. Good.
Good.
And what is this? This is wood for the fire.
Wood.
And this is fire. No, no. Fire is good.
Fire, no good. No.
There is good. And there is bad.
Good. Bad. Good.
Music.
Coming to you live from Mike O'Mara's living room studio in the historic radio district of Manassas, Virginia, a bustling suburb of the nation's capital. It's the Mike O'Mara Show featuring Buzz Burbank with Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are delighted to be with you for Thursday, January 12th, 2012. Our show today is brought to you by Encore Insurance Service, LLC. For a free life insurance quote today, call 866-347-5748 or visit their website at smartterm.com. Don't pay too much for life insurance. Call
Encore.
To see if they can help you save. They'll compare the premiums of the highly rated insurers they represent to help you save. Let
Encore
do the work for you. Call now, 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information on their website. It's smartterm.com for
Encore!
Bingo! And we are on and we are ready to go today for Thursday, Jan 12, 2012. On the program today, I like Warren Buffett. And I'll tell you why.
Oh,
I always like to mention it. When he makes the news, I like to share it with our listeners. I don't like to get very political, but I do when it comes to Warren Buffett, because Warren Buffett, to me, is a great American hero.
Yep.
Also on the program, The People's Choice, WTF. Did anybody get a look at it last night?
No.
I caught some of the highlights. The people of America are stupid.
We'll have a roundtable on this. This falls into the category that I fall into an awful lot nowadays, which is, am I completely and totally losing touch with America? Or is just the talent pool and you know, what's out there just becoming more and more watered down?
Well, remember the main problem with the People's Choice Awards. That is, they award it to the people who show up.
Right,
so
exactly.
That's contingent on who's going to be there.
And it might be a network thing, too.
Yeah,
also on the program, Katy Perry's dad.
Right.
Rob.
He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Are you aware of these
comments? I don't know any of the actual comments. I know he apologized for something, but I don't know for what.
He didn't mean nothing.
One particular quote, and I've got it for you.
Rob, does he work at Papa John's Pizza or Kentucky Fried Chicken?
We'll get serious as we talk about a very serious story of the day, and
yes.
We got to cover it. It's the Marines and the Taliban.
All right.
I think really it's just I don't get it. I really don't get it. I you know, I love the military. You know, we've done a lot you know, to support the military on our show with Fisher House, and it's you know, I think that the overwhelming majority of the military feels a certain way. We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Cappy, to get started today, Cappy mm-hmm. Pfeiffer, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
is the culprit that I accused Bob Spiewak on Facebook of posting the pornography.
So you're saying she's the pervert.
So she's the pervert?
As I wrote to her last night on Facebook, she is a very, very bad girl.
Very bad girl. Very, very bad
Wait
girl.
But
that doesn't dilute my father's pervitude.
Yeah, I still stand by the fact that he's a stone-cold pervert.
Yeah, you know what? He didn't need to repost it, and he could have deleted it if he wasn't a pervert like Oscar claims he is.
Okay.
But you won't have an argument for me on that.
There's an X in the right-hand column. And Bob Spiewak could have been all over that.
I say bless them both.
But imagine my surprise when sweet, innocent, fan of the show, best fan we have.
Yes, really,
we named studios
number one
after
fan,
her.
Yes.
And she, you know, enlightened me as to the fact that she was the individual responsible for that tasteful, beautiful nudity that we all saw.
And, you know, she didn't need to cop to it. She could have just let the dust settle. She's so perverted, she wanted to be blamed
she
for it.
She wants to be known as a bad girl.
Yeah.
Did you get any feedback at all from your dog last night?
Yeah, he was laughing.
Oh, good.
He was laughing. And he said,
maniacal laugh.
No, it was more like this. The papers will arrive tomorrow. No,
Bob,
I think,
you know, I love you. I love you, Bob Spiewak.
Oh, I know. And he loves all of us. And I think he got it in the spirit of the thing. And also, in all the laughter, never once was a denial issued.
Well, here's the thing. Did he say to you it was Cappy that was the originator of the photograph?
Didn't come up.
Didn't throw her under the bus.
See, that to me just speaks to what a stand-up guy
Gentleman.
Your old man is.
It
right.
says to me that I must favor my mother's side of the family.
Yeah, you would be like, Cappy, put it up.
Yeah, right.
That would be out of your mind. I would call you on the phone and be, Cappy.
I would answer the phone instead of hello. I'd say, don't blame me, blame Cappy.
I hate to put you tremendously on the spot, Rob, but on which side of the family would which would be the more honorable side of the family?
The more honorable side of the family, I'd say.
And give us a little background on the families, too.
That would be a stone cold
tie. I always get
tie.
Confused as to which is the furniture
okay,
side.
The furniture
which
side
is
my mom's side, the Stalker
okay,
side.
Okay, all right.
And Big Daddy was.
I think you've answered the question already.
Well, it's basically a family of the Stalker side based in sales.
Right. So they're used to throwing people under the sofa.
Yeah, exactly. Or under the tractor if it was selling of vegetables, or under the 18-wheeler if it was selling Christmas trees. My father's dad was an educator. He was a high school coach and a high school teacher, and two of his sons were teachers as well. So
and
I'd
these
say
are the
that
people up from like Carteret, New Jersey,
that's
right?
That's where my father comes from. Right?
Where everybody was like an overachiever in athletics and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, the real overachievers would never end up in Carteret. You know Carteret. One exit shy of New York City. You can smell Carteret in New York if the wind is blowing just right. You know what Carteret had? A match factory.
Wasn't your grandfather, though, some sort of elite athlete?
Yes, he was. Now, obviously, I don't favor that part of the family. Right. He is in the high school, New Jersey, I believe, New Jersey High School Athletic Hall of Fame for being a
Well, see,
a
you do,
player.
But I mean, Rob, I mean, in a perfect world, you would be probably coming back now from a school like Iowa, and you would have played, you know, at your age, you probably would have been, I want to say, probably a linebacker.
Still well, in the in program?
A, in
at
a
my
perfect
age?
World. Yeah, sure.
Well, you've got the size, is what he said.
I do. I have the size. I perhaps lack the drive, but I may be a little too smart to put my body through all that. And when, in fact, what I did was a more soft, more aerobic approach to exercise, less hard hitting. And look at me, never a broken bone, and my finger's perfectly straight.
What did you do that was aerobic?
I came all the way in from my car.
More flexing of gums than flexing of muscles.
Exactly.
I would have really loved to have your size. I would have loved to
Thank
have your
you,
size.
Thank you, Mike.
I would have liked to be
Terry
as tall.
Might
how tall
tell
are
you something different, but I'm 6'2".
6'2", a little more than 6'2", aren't
no,
you?
No, I think just under 6'2", but 6'2".
Oh, just under
so
6'2".
Now, my father
you?
Is 6'4".
Right.
And I've got a cousin, Mark, who is 6'7½". The Spiewaks grow him big.
Wow.
Now, did Mark, your cousin, did he excel in basketball? Or
no, he excels in, excels in smoking weed.
Is he truly not athletic at all?
Not at all. His sister is. His sister is. Casey's very athletic, and she's also tall, I think 5'10".
The boys in the family, what happened? What happened to the Spiewak men?
I don't know. My father played high school sports.
Yeah, was he a basketball player?
No, football. But he didn't make the upper program.
Varsity?
Varsity. I guess JV
the upper
is where
program.
I don't know. If you have any questions about theater, I'll be glad to entertain them, okay? Jackass.
Theater.
I don't really know what this junior varsity or varsity is, but I know My Fair Lady was a fabulous musical.
One of the best, Mike. Lerner and Lowe. And, you know, I did letter in theater, and I also was a gold medalist improv actor.
Oh, never heard of that
What do you
before.
Mean? That's a new
gold
one.
Medalist.
I mean that we had countywide improv contests, and I was a gold medalist.
In
I
the Special have, Olympics, right?
No helmets required. I still have my medals.
I was thinking about that. You that
out of course you do.
Out of everybody in this room, just because if you catch the bonus show, like we really – changed some things on the fly yesterday.
Did
I think
we?
It worked out very nicely.
Incidentally, but, I believe a credit to every single person in this room.
Yes,
that we were able to do that yesterday. Because you know what, I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. I said, "Hey guys, how about some different ideas for the bonus show?" And Rob came up with what Rob and I both thought was going to be a really cool idea where we'd sing along to iPods, and it just didn't flow at the beginning because there was too much that was required of the audience. So we changed it to an idea that Oscar brought to the table, and everybody jumped in. And I you know what? I got to be honest. I don't like to toot our own horn, but I would venture to say that makes this show what it is. Because you know what?
Well, we never even had to stop tape.
Right.
We turned the craft around, and it was fine. I would like to revisit that game. Can we tease what the name of the game is, even if we don't give the concept?
Yeah, go ahead.
Three Things I Hate About You.
Yeah. Three Things I Hate
I
About You.
I thought it
you.
Was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually now, got better as it proceeded.
Yes,
we figured
did.
It out.
And I think that I'd like to do it with different categories. We can do it in the future, too. Because
I
think
agree.
Oscar being the scab picker that he is, really... I believe he designed the game for the specific reason to start some real S.
He craved trouble. He craved trouble.
I just thought
which is what
compelling.
I love about him. I mean, so, I love the fact that he does that. I think that's terrific, and I think that's the way it ought to be all the time. But I got done doing yesterday's bonus hour, and I said, you know, somebody wrote about it on Facebook, said something that and they called me unflappable. And I'm like, well, it's not me. It's everybody on the show that was unflappable because, you know, I just decided we'd make the change. And then, you know, I was the one that had all the information and was throwing it out at everybody. And you guys were, you know, you were catching it. You guys were all like flounder catching the produce
the noodles.
In the grocery store and Animal House, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and it worked out really well. So it's a really unique. If you want to hear us when we really start something that S's the bed, and then we come to the line, and this is great during the playoffs.
Pull it
season.
Out of the fire.
I call the audible, and everybody gets in the right position, which is missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And,
is it, Mike? Not yesterday.
Well, yeah, it was fun.
I think thanks go to our Lord and Savior.
I agree.
That,
Mike
that's
Tebow.
That's right, Tim Tebow. Absolutely. I thought, you know, that's what makes – I like that every now and then. You know I don't like it on a regular basis, but I like it because it kind of keeps us on our toes and makes the show. So you would say, Mr. Spiewak, that your father, your Dawes side, would be the ones you probably want in the foxhole, the furniture side of the family.
You said
you a good deal.
You said honorable.
Wait, who does the bus throwing? Which side of the family does the bus throwing?
I would think that we would do a more bus throwing on my mom's side of the family.
All right.
We're pretty clear open on my dad's side of the family. As you know, my all of our disdain for my father's oldest brother. I won't drop his name, but he's the one who claims that he didn't sell the piece of the Hindenburg when we all know he did.
Well, you know,
he's a dick.
You got to let that go.
Here's a family whose main dispute centers around part of the Hindenburg.
Oh, no, it's not just that. That's just a brick in the whole schoolhouse of this guy being a dick.
Robert, we can't be friends.
To this day, he doesn't know my dad's wife's name. And so when they get a Christmas card every year, it's, Bob, tell your lovely wife Merry Christmas. And then my father never sends him a card because he just doesn't want to have anything to do with
right.
it. And what's really great is this year was Bobby, because, you know, older brother, they call him Bobby, which I always think is
right,
funny.
Right.
Bobby, Merry Christmas to you and your lovely wife. Why doesn't anyone on the East Coast talk to us anymore?
Oh.
Love those people.
Wow. And see, that's a dick move.
Well,
though.
of course it is, because they're dicks.
Passive aggressive.
Very dicks. Very dicks.
Very dicks. See, Rob, do you have any, and do any of you guys have you or do you own property or anything of value with extended members of your family? Do you have that situation?
No,
we had when Big Daddy passed, we all owned a piece of his estate, his house. It was left.
And you know it gets a little tense, right?
Oh, horribly.
Yeah.
And you know, and I love my family like no one loves their family. But those months at the end with Big Daddy,
awful.
I was about to wash my hands of the whole thing.
Sure.
And the worst thing is because Carrie and I lived at the house, all the business stuff filtered through us. There was no way that we could really stay away from it.
Right.
And so, you know, it was very tense and very, it's unhappy is mm-hmm, what it is. Mm-hmm. And so that was,
well,
it's really tough.
You know that I have over the years talked about this this piece of property that I own with five cousins.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My sister and myself, because it's only my sister and me.
Is it Hancock Point?
It's that, yeah, it's that 20-year thing again.
Right.
It's that it's that every 5 years things start to get a little stirred
Ooh,
up, and so I probably win the award for the most dickish email sent during this round of emails, because everybody's talking about you know, what lawyer we talked to form a little family company to get this thing managed properly.
Right.
We've been doing this for 20 years. We've been doing this, and so I sent out a letter, and my letter said, I really don't think we should be talking to a lawyer. I think we should be talking to a real estate agent.
Oh.
And I'm here to say, and it wasn't pure snark. It was something where I'm here to say, I think finally, after all these years, mm-hmm. as we're all, you know, getting ready to, you know, ski down the bunny slope to Casket Town.
Right.
You know, we're finally maybe mellowing just a little bit.
Hey, may I use that?
The bunny skiing down the bunny slope to Casket
Town.
Town.
So poetic. Yeah, who's the mayor of Casket Town?
The mayor of Casket Town. You know what I do? I just basically...
Oh, Buzz raised his hand.
What you can do is you can visit the Diaz and the Burbank lodges at the bottom of the bunny slope in Casket.
Passes on the way down.
I think what I do is I rewrite Guy Fieri's material. That's all I do.
That? When is he talking to someone who owned a really bad restaurant?
No, he's talking about Flavored. He calls it Flavortown. But I wrote this thing, and surprisingly, the emails back have not been all that, controversial is not the word I wanted. Confrontational.
Okay.
So I'm here to say perhaps this is the year that maybe we solve some things. But
I know
just
it's on
don't
the top
think-
of your mind, because remember when we were watching Mr. Blandings on the tour bus going to Iowa?
Remember.
And it was all about
with the dick lawyer?
Yeah. It was all about a house falling apart, and you referenced it as your house in Maine. And you've made passing comments before, but that was the most pointed you'd ever been about the disrepair of this of Mara Lodge.
So it's just something that, we'll see what happens. But I think that by their very nature, when you have like something that's in the family with many, you've got five families starting out. Now the kids of the family members are starting to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't think it works.
It's complicated.
What, do you get an hour? You get an hour of your timeshare for the summer? It just doesn't seem logical to me.
Crazy.
But I don't want to open up that whole can of worms.
And you certainly don't want everyone to be there at once.
Whoa. You know, Rob, though, it would be kind of cool if we had the kind of family where we could do that. Yeah. I really do.
You don't
really
think you could do it?
No, not a chance.
What if, let's say you do call Bill Dick, and he's your real estate agent, and Bill Dick sells the house.
And he'll answer the phone by going, howdy, Bill Dick.
Yes, exactly. And he is, by the way, the only real estate agent in all of Maine. That's just what he does.
What if you? I think I know where he's going. It's like an O'Mara Jubilee before you actually sell the place.
Jubilee.
Yeah. Like a 4th of July picnic with watermelon and whatnot.
It will never get to the real estate phase because they're not gonna go for that.
Because you're gonna burn it down for the insurance money.
No, they're not gonna go for that. I'll be out of my ass and I'll deal with it. That's just the way it's.
No, but they can't just put you out. Because if
I want to go out, if I don't want to, you know, do what they want to do,
he may jump out.
Oh,
they'll buy him out.
Well, Kathy, do you think
jump around?
Will they buy you out?
Anyway, I don't
maybe Kathy could send you a picture of a check.
Let's call him now. Skype up.
It's one of those situations where I'm just regretting what I said. Look at my
of the younger generations is really, because there's always somebody that just like talks about how great it is that everybody, and it's not that great.
It's clearly great.
You know who? Which one out of your group loves that home?
Who's
more than
gung-ho
anybody else?
On the house?
Yeah.
Currently with the communicators, and we have only five that are communicating right now, and I'll say two of the five. Thank you very much.
Oh,
two of the five.
Nice. Okay.
Exactly what Mr. Santana just suggested.
40%.
But anyway, we do have to take a break. We will take a break. Lots more to talk about. Katy Perry's dad. We'll talk about the People's Choice Awards, the Marines, all that stuff when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show. I'm totally off the beat, aren't I, when I do that?
That's all right.
What I'm hearing is coming back to you guys at a different time. What are you eating, Oscar?
At this point in his career, Elvis was totally off beat as well. I'm enjoy pieces. He enjoys those pieces to pieces.
I would like to say unequivocally, Oscar is not on the weight not
No.
But he doesn't have, Oscar doesn't have weight, so he doesn't have to be on it. But I want to read a letter from Scott Mason. This is Weight Not, ladies and gentlemen, 855-WEIGHT-NOT or 855-934-4486, weightnot.com. Unbelievable results you can believe in. This comes from Scott Mason.
Hey, Scott.
He writes, just wanted to let you know that I began Weight Not on December 7th. In the ensuing 33 days, I have lost 18.8 pounds and will hit the elusive 20-pound mark tomorrow. My goal is to lose my son. He currently weighs 42 pounds.
Wow. I've done that, but it didn't have anything to do with weight.
Yeah.
I would not have done this without your promotion of their product and your support for all of us fighting our own wills. No offense, but I honestly told my wife that if Mike, Rob, RJ could lose this much weight, then I could too. I mean, I know how much you love your food and drink.
Yes.
On a side note, when I began the program, the woman I worked with told me that Mike O'Meara listeners are the most loyal people that she has dealt with.
We spoke
at length about how your podcast influenced and motivated me to get healthier, and she was impressed with the influence you all have. I thank you, my wife, parents, and two children. They also thank you, and I look forward to many healthy years more of listening to your wonderful show.
Very
nice.
That is awesome.
Very cool.
And just to pile on, Mike, 12 pounds for me since Friday.
Way to go, Rob.
Pounds in a week.
Yay, nice.
It's 855 Weight Not or 855-934-4486. WeightNot.com. Unbelievable results you can believe in. A lot of people don't try to lose weight because they think they'll fail. You won't fail with Weight Not. The motivation is the result. And the results you get are what motivates you to do it every single day.
Right.
We are back on the show right now. And I would like to say in advance, because I will be traveling and the boys will be doing the show on their own tomorrow. I think you guys have done just an incredible job while I've been down here in Florida. I think that really it takes a lot of doing to get these shows to be as seamless as they are, and I think the experiment has been an overwhelming success, and I credit you guys back in the studio to do
it. And I think we credit you as well, because it's a tremendous, you are the stir that stirs the drink here. And
the frustrating thing, Rob, I think for me, is not to be able to hear this.
Right.
Down the line. You know what I mean? I don't hear it that clearly.
I understand.
I just want to say this. I hope my farts have sounded clear.
Regardless of the state you're in, Mike, regardless of your company, your farts have never disappointed.
You know, I will tell you also, with Mr. French coming down, he came down to Florida, set this whole thing up, and did absolutely a flawless job of getting everything up and running. I didn't have to lift a finger to do this, and that's probably why I'm so freaked out about breaking this whole thing down when I get ready to come back.
Why don't you just put everything in a box and don't undo any wires?
Hey, Mike.
Just a big cardboard box.
The only thing to leave on the shelf is the power strip. Take everything else with you. That's the way to look at it.
Okay. All right.
Bring
the
ant traps home, too.
Yeah, yeah. You can seal the box.
Oh, I hope those are gone.
Seal the box shut with the ant traps.
Buzz, how you doing back there? I heard that. Are you
okay?
Fine.
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Buzz trapped an ant in his larynx.
Yeah, part of the problem is... Part of the problem is we sink down into this soft sofa, and it's you breathe funny when you sure. when you get swallowed up by a pillow.
It's a furniture allergy.
Guess where the ants have moved?
Where?
To the bathroom.
Oh. Yay.
And I did my own exterminating yesterday. I took the little strip with the glue on them, and I moved them into the bathroom.
I thought perhaps you would use your own extermination wand since you were in the bathroom.
That's a
drowning.
What a lovely segue that is, Rob.
Yeah,
as we move into a serious subject. Yes. I'm talking to my wife last night, and Buzz, you know this story has been all over the internet. It has been all over everywhere, really. Yes. With these Marines urinating on the dead Taliban.
Right.
And you know what? There's so many levels that piss me off about this.
So
the first one, and I guess I look at it almost like I would look at it as a Marine officer. Mm-hmm. How in the name of F does this tape get out? How does it get out to the world? That's what, you know, because I would think even if you were in a firefight and you were fighting for your life and maybe your buddy's been shot and killed by the Taliban. You know, war is hell, and it makes men do crazy things.
Right.
I'm ready to give them a free pass. But how does this see the light of day? I'm stunned that this type of tape does not get to a certain level, and they go, hey, destroy that. Don't ever let anybody see that
and
again.
Furthermore, why was it taped in the first place?
Well, because a Marine was offended by the behavior of his fellow Marines and taped it and put it up on the internet. There were no levels to go up through. He went straight to YouTube.
Ah, good. That's good insight. I didn't know that.
Neither.
So he
just...
Right.
He got this. They distributed it around fellow Marines and did that.
Yeah.
Well, I missed what Oscar said. What did you say?
He said rat.
He said rat. You know. But there is a Marine code that says that you behave when you're not being watched the same way you behave when you are being watched. And he violated that Marine code and made other Marines and the guys who did the urinating made other Marines look bad. Yeah, war is hell. We train these guys to hate and kill. And because we do that, sometimes things like this happen. But as the United States of America, we don't do crap like that. And
we should.
I hope those guys are punished for not respecting human life, even that of the enemy. Because we in the U.S. respect human life.
Well said.
Here's the way I look at it. I can't speak for those guys because I'm not there.
Right.
And if you're not there and you're not, I can't imagine what it would be. Obviously, if they are that close to enemy dead, they are dealing with some close contact.
Yes.
And the fact is, you know, that makes you do screwy things. I mean, it's been done in every war. You know, it's done in Vietnam. It's done in World War II. It's done in every war as hell, and makes men do very, very insane things.
Yes.
And Carla brought up a point last night when we were talking about this. The fact is, these are just, in many cases, little boys. I mean, they're just out of high school, and they're thrust into a situation that most of us adults will never deal. I am not explaining away the behavior of these military guys.
Right.
But I just think that, you know, when I see that and I see these guys, what I want to know is who's the elder statesman in the group? Who's the senior officer? Who's the guy that's close by that might be saying, hey, what the F are you doing?
Right.
Knock it off. And that's what I don't know. And I guess we don't have that information either as to whether... you know, whether there were some officers around or, you know, who's Supra? It's a military operation. There's a chain of command.
Yeah, the Marine Corps has that information, but we don't. Not yet, anyway. They say they are looking into it. They say this is not the way Marines are supposed to behave.
No, we're off.
And
I just think what it is for me is I look at when it comes to anything military, whether it comes to Abu Ghraib, where, you know, we had all that that horrible stuff. And I wish I could see FaceTime so Rob could do his his pose of what was her name? Rob?
Her name was Lindy England.
That's right.
Was it? I'll do it for the folks in the room. Hold on.
That is a great memory that you remember Lindy England. And,
That's it.
Call me on FaceTime. I'm going to end the call. Call me on FaceTime one more time, guys, and see if we can.
As soon as you come back, Mike, I'll do the pose again because it was a big hit among the crowd.
One of the things, Buzz. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but one of the things that I was going to say about this was, I mean, didn't it? At the end of the day, when they talked about the prisoners in Abu Ghraib, didn't it come? It ended up right at the highest levels of the Pentagon.
Had sanctioned.
You know, what
it,
I mean,
yeah.
I blame officers for this. Guys that aren't being properly supervised out there.
Let me ask you guys this, and I'm just looking for an opinion here. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this would be true or not, but when you train people to be killing machines,
right,
and that's what the Marines are over there, isn't it going to sometimes blur the line of what is appropriate and inappropriate when you're dealing with the dead and undead?
The real crime here.
Alive, they're trained to do what is already the largest affront to human life, which is taken.
The big crime here is war itself, in my opinion.
That's
what brought us in. The other controversial aspect to this is in our all-volunteer military force now, we've become less particular about those we accept as recruits, and we have a higher percentage, with no disrespect to our fighting men and women who sacrifice so much and face so much danger to do whatever stupid thing we ask them to do and to do it without question and to do it well. There's also the aspect that we have more convicted felons in our armed forces than we've had in some time. And so you're going to get, I think, sometimes this runaway behavior. I don't know if that's the case with these guys, but I know that it is an ongoing problem in the armed forces.
Well, I would beg to differ. I would say that this problem is probably, if you look at armed forces
isolated,
across the world, I think that the U.S. military tries to do the best
they
can.
Oh, I agree.
According to the Geneva Convention,
and is better.
And what actually happens? Mm-hmm. That being said, not everybody's going to be great.
Right.
This is going to happen every 4 or 5 years, where people, regardless of their rank or what service they're in, that they're people
RJ,
are going
to
make mistakes.
RJ, call me back, please, on FaceTime.
They're trying to call
you
right now.
Yeah, we're working on it, Mike.
But there are going to be people that just don't play by the rules.
And also, I think anytime you get in a situation, whether or not it be the military or even if it's scouts or a classroom, you get people that are a group. Mm-hmm. And there is going to be a clannish sort of behavior.
This was a group of snipers, an elite group of snipers.
Well, but they are still a group. And if one person does something, they're going to probably be inclined to go along with it. Mm-hmm. Just human nature of being a part of the pack. Even one bad apple could ruin it.
Absolutely.
There is so many issues at play here, but the major issue is not just human rights and respect for the dead. It's the perception, the anti-American sentiment that a video like this
doesn't help.
Creates and adds fuel to the current fire that there is in that region.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the bottom line.
And this comes just as we're, coincidentally, and I wonder about this, this comes just as we are sitting down to new talks with the Taliban, the U.S. and the Taliban.
Yeah, and the one thing that we were talking about, because this to me is maybe a training issue too, where you get all these guys, you can put 3,000 of them in a room, and you can get a general up there that'll say, hey, this is why you do not do this. You do not do this. And I'd love to know that. And you know what? I'm sorry we're not taking calls today, because this would be kind of a standard talk show type of subject I would love to know whether, people that have served and gone over to Iraq and gone over to Afghanistan, if they do get them in a room and maybe give them as part of their training, but beyond anything, when you're going to do something stupid, if you think you're going to do something like violate the enemy or do something, or you want to move out, want to pull an ASAP move like this, you're immediately giving the enemy one of the greatest propaganda tools to recruit more people that want to kill us than anything else. But they're kids. Yes, the best and the brightest, but it's a standard name that's used for our military, okay?
Are they
the brightest all the time? No, they're like any other business, any other organization.
Right.
You're going to have great guys and you're going to have dumb guys in there.
Right.
And you're going to have dumb guys that don't know what they're doing. And this was one of those moves where the dumb guys, and I look at, the very last part of this would be, when I see this, I say, oh, Jesus, there's the recruitment poster for the Taliban now. Look what the infidels do to our dead.
I know.
And they're all about that. I mean, when we took out Osama bin Laden, man, it was a prearranged deal as to how we were going to handle and dispose of his body in a religious way. And we, I, God, I just look at this and like, hey, way to go, Cal. Hey, nice job. Nice job peeing on the Taliban. You know, it just pisses me off.
Right.
Yeah. It really and I guess you're right, Buzz. Maybe they have to be punished on some level, if not drummed
out. We can't allow that. We're the U.S. We don't do that.
I know. It frustrates me. It truly does. On another news topic today, Katy Perry's dad makes the quote.
Yeah, I'm dying to hear this. It's not in Bartlett's. I was all Katy over Perry's, the web.
Katy Perry Spiewak writes, no, her father writes, and I didn't get his name.
His name is, Robert Wadhams Perry.
His name is Commodore Robert Wadhams Perry. And the quote was, and is Mark Ronick standing by?
I'm right here.
He is.
We need our, and how are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. How are you?
How's every little thing? Did you get any feedback about the attack on the Mark and Lowell show earlier in the week?
What attack? We're
fine. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That was pre-show.
Say, Mark, doesn't that show post today?
It does.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Check it out.
It's fun. Isn't fun fun?
It's great.
Toll!
Anyway, I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be me if I wasn't jealous of others. Hey, you know what? I know I have. Listen. Listen to me.
Listen to me.
I know I have a jealous streak.
What?
I know I do.
God.
I've had some wonderful correspondence with Eric Bickle because one day I made a comment about the junkies on our show, and it came out of jealousy that they're still in the, you know, in the driver's seat over there, our former employer, and I've always been sad about that.
Actually, and he's in the driver's seat all the time because he has to drive to Lanham.
Forgot about that. We didn't talk about that. But you know what? We had a really nice exchange. Eric Bickle and I had a really nice exchange back and forth because Eric has been a friend of mine for a long time because I do consider Eric a stand-up guy. The way he handled this situation was as a stand-up guy, and as I like to think I did as well. And that's the way real men solve their problems is they say, hey, because I became aware that Eric had a problem with something I said on the podcast. I didn't know what it was, nor was I able to get that information. But once I contacted Eric, he said what I had said that pissed him off, and it was a comment about talent and our show and their show. And it was like what I did with Tanner Cooley. It was jealous, and I get jealous, and it's a part of me that I truly hate. But it also feeds the competitive end of our business as well, which we all kind of have. But I wanted to give a shout-out to EB of the Sports Junkies. I am delighted that you're going to be listening to the show again. And, you guys are good friends, and you always have been, and I hope that doesn't change.
So can I say hi to John Auville?
Yeah. Yes, say hi to Johnny Auville.
Johnny Cakes, what's up, my man?
Hey, Cakes.
Saw him on the block.
I don't know if Johnny's a regular listener of the podcast, but Eric had informed me that he was listening, and he had been listening, and I hope he listens for a long time to come. So, and he's very supportive of what we do, blazing the trail in this wonderful land of the podcast as well. Now on, Mark Ronick, I hope I wish for your comment on this because this applies to you because he's making that sweeping anti-Semitic comment. At least that's what some people are calling it, and I would categorize it the same way. Katy Perry's dad says, quote, having money is what it takes to make Jews jealous.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Jesus.
I can't help but just to laugh at that. I mean, it's just a moronic statement, but it's kind of funny. So it doesn't bother me.
Can't spell moronic without Ronick.
That's right.
Rob, but
this is the good news about that statement. After this statement was released, Katy Perry will now be seen this summer at Six Flags.
Now, is there any
kind of a Jews are powerful joke?
any sort of context on that? What would bring him up to say that?
I followed the story as well. I was just going to say he has since, first of all, totally copped to the statement and apologized profusely for it. He says he's very sorry for it. It was taken out of context. He was joking, but he has copped to the statement and apologized for it nevertheless. So I don't think it was terribly, terribly serious. It's an unfortunate thing that he got caught saying that.
Okay, and
but
quote,
he really was just kidding.
He said it in front of a congregation, Buzz. He said it in front of all these people.
We say it here frequently on the show several times a week, kidding when we kid Mark.
We're saying it. So, we're comedians. We're doing it as a joke. We're not getting in front of a congregation and saying, having money is what it takes to make Jews jealous. I don't know if he was trying to make a joke.
Sometimes pastors tell jokes, and he claims that this was part of joking. He claims that he was joking, too, that it was his comedy.
But for the grace of God, go on.
But Mark, exactly. Before we close the topic, I guess the question everyone wants to know, is that true?
It absolutely is. It is
on
indeed.
On that note, we will take a break. We will come back. Thank you, Rob Spiewak. Good picker. We will come back with Rob's Magic Audio Ball. Welcome back to the show.
So you want to sit down and hear the radio vault?
We can.
Rob's Magical. Would you like who is the guy? Georgie Jessel? Would you like Henny Youngman? Or would you like your favorite, Jackie Mason?
You don't even have to ask me. Do the Mason.
All right.
Rob's Magical. The vault is brought to you by Paul Flowers. A survey shows that over a third of all women are more likely to have sex with the guy who sends them flowers.
Over a third?
Mm.
A third.
Wow.
Increase your odds this Valentine's Day and order Pearl Flowers for your lady today. She'll like it. She'll give you a nice big pat on the back. Maybe something else. Maybe she'll pat something else. Check out some of their great specials and get them delivered on time. Click the Pearl Flowers ad at MichaelMaraShow.com. Thanks a lot. And now let's open the Yellow Vault.
It's actually the Oiga Vault.
Oiga Vault.
The Oiga Vault. Here's Rob Spiewak. Take it away. We're running short on time. And Mike's got to hit the road.
Send the flowers. She'll touch your schnitzel. People, you know, it's the election is starting to gear up, and people are misspeaking. And, you know, I think we all in this room like Tom Brokaw. I love Tom Brokaw. Yeah, I think he's great. And he was on the Today Show today.
Rob, it's the door.
Wow. Come in.
I'll get it.
Thank you, Mark.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
How are you?
Tom Brokaw, NBC News.
Hey, did you stop by to discuss The Greatest Generation?
The Greatest Generation is the World War II generation.
Right. When,
from the halls of Montezuma.
Now, this is sort of a loaded question, but it's been troubling me all day. Do you remember the book Gulliver's Travels?
Gulliver. F you, Rob.
There he goes.
Couldn't handle it.
Next time we'll ask him to say Lilliputian.
Couldn't take the heat.
Anyway, Tommy boy, Tom Brokaw was on the Today Show today, and he was talking to Ann Curry, so right away I felt sorry for him.
Sure.
There was one great moment where she said, and you'll be joining us tomorrow for the Today Show's 60th anniversary. And he looks at her and he says, oh, is that coming up? Someone should talk about that on this show.
These casinos, it's a bunch of crap.
Yeah. It is a bunch of crap. However, also a bunch of crap when you take the leading Republican candidate and call him twice by his father's name.
He was a senator from South Carolina, is widely perceived to be the most powerful Republican in that state, has not endorsed, but he said in the last 24 hours, George Romney is going to win this primary in South Carolina. It's the Republican Party equivalent of a jihad. They're going hard after George Romney, Rick Perry, and
Mitt
and,
Romney.
And, going after Mitt Romney. His father was George Romney. That's my generational. They're going hard after
Governor
Romney.
Hey, but you know what? That's
Governor
the way you cover it. Right. That's the way you cover
he
it.
He honestly got out of it.
I mean, he knows, I screwed up, but that's it. You don't even blink, and you go, I screwed up.
But
I'm sorry.
Here is why Ann Curry is still a flaming C. She let him do it once without correcting him. And he is a big enough of a pro that she should have corrected him right away.
What probably happened was somebody in the
IFB?
Director probably sent her a message in her headphone, and then she corrected him the second time.
Right, that's probably what
she
happened.
She didn't know. She wasn't paying attention. She was sleepy.
No,
that's right.
That's true. Tom Brokaw not getting any younger. Neither is John McCain, who earlier this week, I haven't played this yet, but it just seems to fit well in here. Here he is endorsing his candidate for the election.
I am confident. With the leadership and the backing of the American people, President Obama will turn this country around. We believe in America. We believe that our best days are ahead of us. President Romney. President Romney.
Oh, my God.
Play it again. Play that one again. President, that one's worth playing again.
And Romney. What you should know, he was actually at a rally in South Carolina. Romney was standing not 5 feet away from him.
Oh.
And here is John McCain to announce his endorsement of Mitt Romney. Or George Romney.
I am confident. With the leadership and the backing of the American people, President Obama will turn this country around. We believe in America. We believe that our best days are ahead of us. President Romney. President Romney will turn this around.
Wow.
Isn't that disrespectful though to the presidency when you're saying President Romney and he's not even been elected?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, it's a dig.
The man lived in like a tiger cage for like 6 years. Yeah. Give him a break.
That's an old thing. I mean, that's been done many elections. They've referred to the next president as President Romney will be great. This sort of thing has been very typical in campaign.
I think it's implied.
I like the next president of the United States when you introduce the guy, but a Romney administration will be this. But I mean, when you're saying president, you're already anointing him. I think that's BS, too.
Yeah,
right.
I really do.
It
I
is BS, but it's a long-standing practice of BS.
No one was anointing Mitt on C-SPAN yesterday.
My question is regards to how turnout will affect the eventual result, and that is for Mr. Chairman. Do you believe that Mitt Romney has a big penis?
Oh, dear.
I apologize, Chairman McDonald, for that comment. We're trying to keep the conversation productive here this morning.
I wanted to make sure I heard him right.
Your ears did not fail you, unfortunately.
Hey, that begs a question. That's something we can discuss maybe on the next show that we're all together.
What's that?
Who's got the largest one of all the presidential candidates?
Oh, I just know it ain't Newt.
Barack, hands down.
You know it's not Newt. You know it's not.
He's got a battering ram.
Well, I mean, but I think Barack, you're making... Now, who's making the stereotype now, Mr.
That's racist. Hey, I wish that stereotype was about Latinos. It certainly isn't.
I certainly wish it was about the Irish, but it ain't going to happen. Yeah.
No, you have your own stereotypes to be proud of, Mike.
Yes, that's true. Who's the candidate who's doing the most slurring?
Which candidate ate the most potatoes? Oh, we asked Barack Obama about that C-SPAN call.
Okay. There are some people who have said that it's not big enough. There are others who say it's too big.
So, there you go. He was weighing in. Oh,
let's
Seth.
Go. All right. While we're on the subject, we just have a second here. Let's do it. Let's go through the Republicans right now and think who has the
Who's packing?
One. Oh. Now that Herman Cain's out of the race.
Oh, stop it. He wore two hats.
I'm going to say it's Ron Paul.
You think it is Ron Paul?
No.
But old and
Ron
useless.
Ron Paul in that like challenged human being.
Yeah, but old and useless.
Who's the tallest guy?
No. Guys, remember the formula is who's the dumbest.
So Rick Perry?
It's either going to be Rick Perry or Rick Santorum.
Oh, I forgot. No, it's Rick Perry. It's Rick Perry going away.
Yeah, that's how it works.
No, you know what? I think Rick Perry has the
try
biggest...
Try me again, RJ. I'm going to hang up. Try me again. I want to get that FaceTime up before
that. We've been trying. I think Rick Perry has the biggest sack. I'm not sure about everything else.
I think it actually might be Santorum.
Can we get any gayer? I mean, just if we try, I can play some Peter Allen music.
We've put your balls in my hand.
We've proven on past shows, yes, we can get gayer.
Oh, Mike, it's a sad day. And I do apologize that this would happen, but, I have to make a point of it. It happened the very week I got back on Weight Not, okay? Really?
Things clearly not wonderful at Wonder Bread. Hostess Brands, which also makes Twinkies, filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
No!
For the second time in less than a decade, Americans are trying to eat healthier.
Oh, sad, right? The bankruptcy?
I grew up with that stuff. It makes me want to go out and buy Twinkies just to keep them in business.
Well, you know what that means, Mike? It means that America is having Twinkie trouble.
Well, it's one of the most recognized snack cakes, but now the Twinkie may be in trouble.
Could the Hostess Twinkie be in trouble?
The Twinkie could be in trouble.
Trouble for the Twinkie?
Trouble for the Twinkie.
Twinkie trouble.
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 Twinkie
trouble.
Trouble in Twinkie land.
You know, Trip Affleck is having Twinkie trouble.
Oh, dear.
But it has nothing to do with Hostess.
Settle down, you.
So the Twinkie is going away.
Well, you know what? What some experts say, and I can't believe I actually saw bakery pundits. The pundits say that even if we lose Hostess, the Twinkie is a valuable enough product that it will be absorbed by another company.
Someone will pick it up.
Someone will pick
it'll
it up.
Absorb
but
anything.
Although I Thank always God. Think the Ho-Ho is better product.
Oh, the Ho-Ho.
Cupcakes
oh,
and
the Ho-Ho
cupcakes
rules.
And snowballs.
Oh, snowballs are great. Pink or white.
Excuse me. Yes. The yodel.
What? Yes. Yeah, the yodel. Here, here.
I don't even know what that is.
The ding dong.
What about Peeps?
Peeps are made by the Just Born Company of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You
what was the peanut butter rolls. One? Not the peanut butter candy cake, but there was a peanut butter one.
That's Tasty Cake. That's Philadelphia. That's
no,
a whole other
no.
Company.
There was another product. It was another peanut butter kind of cake that was surrounded by chocolate. It was a different
another
one.
Butter?
Damn it.
Oh, it was Little the it was the Hostess heart attack.
I got time for one more.
Last one. Let's close with Jimmy Kimmel commenting on this whole host. Oh, you know what? It's bankruptcy. So sad. Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
Hostess. The makers of Wonder Bread and Twinkies, among other delicacies, have just filed for bankruptcy protection. In other words, Wonder has ironically run out of bread. I don't know. To me, that's Hostess is a great American company. We have to save them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what if we could start eating. Maybe we should start firing Twinkies at the Taliban. Save Hostess and Afghanistan at the same time. But Hostess is doing everything they can to reorganize. But times are tough, and now they're even looking to the government for help.
We're Hostess, an American institution since 1930. We create the delicious cakes you know and love. Twinkies, Ho-Hos, Drake's Cakes, Ding Dongs, and more. And now, as we face bankruptcy, we're asking Congress to do the one thing that will return us to profitability immediately. Legalize marijuana.
Mike, that is your magic audio vault.
We'll take a break, come back with buzz and news right after this on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to MikeO'MaraShow.com, everybody, and a message to the ants of the Mike O'Mara house. Hey, boys, you beat me. No. You win. You beat me. You've beaten me. I just had another little of these mother...
What, you got ants in your pants?
I got them all over. Let's get right to it and start with Mr. Buzz Burbank. Take it away, Buzz, and the news.
Thank you, Mike. This segment brought to you by the Institute for Liberty's Disney Dark Side Project. South Florida has long been the adult's alternative to family-oriented Disney, but now some entrepreneurs want to expand those choices by bringing destination gaming to South Florida. Disney sees this as a threat to their bottom line, so they're flexing their corporate muscle and trying to kill these new resorts. Speak up for your freedom of choice by visiting DisneyDarkSide.com today. Paid for by the Institute for Liberty.
Gambling.
In the news today, for a while.
Yeah, I like that.
We prefer to call it gaming.
Gaming. Yeah. Las Vegas-styled gaming.
Gaming.
Santa Claus.
For a while.
This talk is over.
For a very long while, actually. The number one source of social tension in this country was race relations, mainly between blacks and whites. And although that tension still exists to a degree, there's a new number one. And that's the tension between the rich and poor. A new report from Indiana University says millions of Americans fell below the poverty line in this Great Recession, and that millions more will fall below that line as the country digs its way out of the recession. And now comes a survey from the Pew Research Center that says two-thirds of us believe there are strong or very strong conflicts between the rich and poor. That's a nearly 20% jump in that belief just in the last couple of years.
How do rich black people feel about poor white people?
That would be complicated.
Yeah, well, that's my...
I'd say I know the answer to that. Down, they hate them.
What, they do?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't need... What?
Poor white people are some of the biggest racists in the world.
You don't need the Pew for that.
Pew! I don't need no Pew to tell you about that.
And although Republicans don't sense this tension as much as others in the survey, the number of Republicans who do has jumped from 38% to 55%.
Oh, Lovey, I don't sense it.
I don't understand what this frustration is between the rich and poor.
What's all this rigmarole? I need this glass refilled.
We need some old fashioned.
It's already half full. Only 43% of us think the rich got that way through hard work. 46% of us think they're rich because they were born into the money or because they know the right people.
Mm. I see somebody fabulously wealthy, and God knows when we travel south of where I live here in Florida, you see some money. It's mind-boggling. And you know what? I always look at them, and when the first thing that pops into my mind is either mean corporate giant or moneyed people that have had it all their lives.
Right.
That's the way I look at rich people.
I wish some of these rich people would go out and buy a ho-ho.
He dubbed it. He's going to use it. Multimillionaire candidate Mitt Romney has just had his best quarter so far in the campaign, raising $24 million in 3 months for that campaign and has $19 million still in the bank for that campaign. Romney's also starting to address his work in the private sector, which has proven to be a double-edged sword in his election effort. On one hand, his experience with Bain Capital gives him CEO experience, which some believe is sorely lacking in the current administration. On the other hand, Romney may have done more harm than good for working people by eliminating more jobs than he saved or created while he was
working. Rob, wasn't Conrad Bain the CEO of that company?
He was, and he only hired small black children.
And anybody that would be called on the carpet would have to go into H&R and sit down in front of a desk, and everybody, the standard line, if you had really messed up, would be someone on the
on the other side of that testing. What are you talking
about? What you
talking about, Willis? And everyone is talking about the James Bond-style killing of yet another Iranian nuclear scientist this week. A covert assassin on a motorcycle sped alongside the scientist's car, attached a magnetic bomb, and sped away, then detonating the bomb by remote control. Oh, here wow. is a reenactment of that occurrence.
It's going to take a little bit. Hold on.
Well, he's got to attach the magnetic bomb
right.
first.
Well, he's got to leave. He's ready. He's waiting for the car to come by right mm-hmm. now.
Uh-huh.
And the car's coming
as soon
by.
As he sees the car, he'll pull out.
Hold on. Hold on just a second. It seems to take an awful long time.
Here
it must have been a dumbass that did this.
we'll fix this in editing.
Right, you might want to turn this down, Rob, because here it comes. The car's coming around the corner. There he goes. And then, come on.
Well, it's not like it. Oh,
well, maybe there's a red light.
There he goes.
Oh, now he's going out.
That was worth the wait,
that
wasn't
was
it?
Exciting. Yeah. And the TS.
Hey, the greatest Packer in the world has just come into the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Give her a round of applause.
Brett Favre?
Carla O'Hara. Oh. The greatest Packer. You want to wave with the boys?
Hey, now.
I really, really, I was. She did a great Packer. Job.
And the TSA. The TSA has finally drawn a line in the sand about how much criticism it will take over a cupcake incident. A woman tried to fly with a confection known as cupcake in a jar. Oh. The TSA banned it.
Have you heard about Hostess?
They say it had too much gel-like substance. Gel-like substance that you and I know as frosting.
Oh, yum.
But a TSA blogger says, and I quote, unless Wile E. Coyote is involved, the days of three sticks of dynamite with a giant alarm clock strapped to them are long gone. The TSA fights back. And finally, fart.com.
I thought Rob and I were going to have a battle between
them. Oh, he has one too, yeah.
Wow, it's a disaster, right?
Thank you. Take it away, Buzz.
And finally, fart.com calls this story The Blues Brothers Meet Mayberry. In Porter County, Indiana, 50 miles outside of Chicago, a handcuffed suspect stole the town's only police car, wrecked said police car in his escape, and got away on foot. He's still being sought.
Handcuffed. Yes.
During his escape in the cruiser, Bill Blankenship radioed the sheriff's office to ask two questions. Where are the keys to the handcuffs? And where's the cigarette lighter? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Thank you, fellas. I will see you next week. And it's the boys tomorrow. Another brand new show on Friday. Don't forget our bonus hour. Three things I hate about famous people. People within the studio, all sorts of stuff, good stuff. It's going to be a great show tomorrow. Two great shows on the bonus hour and the regular show tomorrow from Manassas. I'll be back in Manassas next week. Thank you guys for holding down the fort, and have a fabulous weekend, everybody.
Drive safely and take everything except the power strip.
Our show is brought to you today by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For a free life insurance quote today, call 866-347-5748 or visit their website at smartterm.com. Don't pay too much for life insurance. Call
Encore
to see if they can help you save. They'll compare the premiums of the highly rated insurers they represent to help you save. Let
Encore
do the work for you. And let me give that number one more time. 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information on their website, smartterm.com, for
Encore.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Watch out. Bad girl.